Thank you. Thank you, Ado. Ado, there's no way you will be meaner than Paul. There's no way you will be mean, period. I mean, Ado's such a kind person. It is my honor, actually, to have been asked to do the management module of this training program. I've been in Victory for 5 years, and I was asking the Lord, hindi ako marunong mag-usher. Every time huhingi ng volunteer, marunong naman mag-usher, kaya lang alayo ng bahay namin eh. Paglinggo, and the kids come for lunch, so ushering, I can't do ushering. So sabi ko, here I am, use me. Then I got a call from Pastor Joey, and he said, Alex, would you like to do the management module of our training for pastors? I said, well, do fish like water. So here I am. What they want you to learn is management. And the textbook says PLOC, planning, leading, organizing, and controlling. But I'm given, in your case, 6 sessions, in some cases only 3 sessions, and it's impossible to teach management within that time frame. So what I'm going to do is to share with you some principles, some concepts, some frameworks on developing a general management mindset. Okay, it is in a way easier, it is simpler, it is high level. Okay, hindi po siya nitty-gritty, although meron din siyang detalyeng marami, but it's high level because you will understand what management is from a general perspective. Kumbaga, parang CEO. And one of the easiest jobs in a company is to become CEO because everyone else does things for you. It's just that it's your neck on the line, okay? So it's your responsibility. In a way, it's the burden is light in terms of actually doing any work, but the burden is heavy in terms of accountability. Okay, so developing the GM or general manager mindset, practical concepts to help achieve excellence in management and leadership. Another issue I want to address immediately is the secular and sacred divide. And many people will say, what on earth are we doing? We're in church, we're pastors, we're holy men. What are we doing with secular ideas? Well, at the outset, I want you to understand, the secular world has stolen a lot of sacred concepts. The concept of accountability is biblical. Okay, so management is making sure you manage the resources available to you because you are accountable to shareholders. In this case, you are accountable, we are accountable to God as pastors. And the first thing I want to share with you is this. Pastors should become professional managers as well. Pastors should become managers as well, and they should become excellent managers. My approach is very intuitive, and so we begin with burning issues. Okay, ang management po, kung hindi ka maingat, you will waste a lot of time. And so to save time, you focus on issues. And in this seminar, we're going to focus on 4 burning issues. Okay, what are the 4? There are four burning issues. Wrong seminar. 2 burning issues. I'm running too many seminars. That's the problem. Okay, issue number 1 is strategic accuracy. Okay, strategic accuracy. This is a commodity that is in terribly short supply among organizations today. Peter Drucker said, effective management is not doing things right. Doing things right is important, but more important is doing the right things. Okay? If you're doing something right, but it's not the right thing you're supposed to be doing, you're wasting time. Okay? So strategic accuracy is making sure you are spending your time on the right issue. Even if you're not doing a good job addressing that issue, as long as you are addressing the right issue, you're at the very least not wasting time. It is focusing on the right things. It is taking action on the right issues versus doing things the right way. That is important, but it is secondary. Okay? It is secondary to doing the right things. If we are not strategically accurate, we pastors, if we are not accurate, if we are not addressing the right issues, we will waste the time of the people who are working with us. And many people give their lives to the Lord. Many volunteers give their lives, in fact, to pastors. And if the pastor is not strategically sharp, or the pastor is not managerially accurate, then he will waste the effort and the time and the loyalties of the people who are volunteering and working with him in the church. There's biblical support, actually. Ephesians chapter 5, 15 and 16. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. I want you to focus on the word careful. Okay? I'm not a Greek scholar, but I looked at that word. Careful means circumspect. As in, you look to the left, you look to the right before you proceed. It means careful. It means disciplined, not lax. The word is taut, as in yung pong tightrope. Kailangan taut, tight. Kung hindi, babagsak yung tightrope walker. So, careful means disciplined, focused. Okay? So, sabi niya, and we can apply this. This is applied in our life, but you can apply it in our work. Be careful how you think. Be careful how you work. Not as unwise men, but as wise. In other words, be accurate. Another meaning of the Greek word for careful is accurate. Do not miss the mark. Of course, committing a sin is missing the mark. In this case, be careful, sabi niya, hit the bull's eye. And it speaks to make sure you are addressing the right issues. Okay? All right. What is strategic accuracy? It means accuracy in issue identification. Okay? Are you identifying the right issues? That in turn is a function of accuracy in identifying the SWOTs. Alam po ba yung SWOT? Strengths, weakness, opportunities, and threats of an organization and its business. To be relevant, let alone accurate, your strategy must emanate from the strategic issues confronting an organization. Okay? If you have if you're managing your church or your organization, but not on the basis of the strategic issues, then you are not relevant, and certainly you will not be, even if you're accurate, you will be irrelevant. Strategic accuracy also is predicated on the willingness to face the brutal facts about your organization and its business so that you can develop the appropriate strategy. You look at your past results. Look at your SWOTs. And then ask yourself, what is keeping me up at night? What is worrying me? What are my concerns? Dun manggagaling ang issues, ang strategic issues. And we'll have an exercise later to help you learn that better. Sabi ni Roger Enrico, the former CEO of PepsiCo Inc. in New York, sabi niya, is it us? Is it something else? Every time there is a business that is not performing well or is not making plan, he will meet the executives of that business and he will ask the funny question, is it us? Is it something else? Is it the market? Is it the economy? Is it competition? Of course, he was just trying to draw our attention to the last part of that sentence, which means if it's us, What are the issues? In fact, this guy's from New York, and New Yorkers are very rude people, and they're very profane. Okay, you know, he was not as polite as this. Yeah? If it's us, what are the toot toot issues? Is basically how he would say it. I mean, what are the issues? Of course, it's always us. Okay, it's us. So sabi niya, get to the issues. So, issue number one is strategic accuracy. Are you paying attention? Are you addressing the right issues? Issue number two is execution rigor. Okay? This morning's session is all on strategic accuracy, but I'm going to give you an overview of the next week's session, which is execution rigor. Okay? There are two issues you want to deal with as a manager. Am I strategically accurate? Am I addressing the right issues? Number two, am I executing well? Okay? What is execution rigor? It is doing what it takes in exact precision. Yan ang key. In exact precision to address the strategic issues thoroughly. Underscore exact precision and underscore thoroughly. Okay? This is the opposite of sloppy. Okay? This is very militaristic, Dennis. Okay? Exact precision and thorough, okay? Doing what it takes in exact precision to address the strategic issues thoroughly. Marami po tayong strategy, tama. Pero yung execution, hilaw, sablay. Ganun din. Wala ka rin effect, okay? And the second aspect is having the sense of urgency to do what has to be done in the fastest possible way. Okay? So execution rigor. Doing what it takes in exact precision to address the issue thoroughly. Number two, the sense of urgency to do what has to be done in the fastest possible way. Lou Gerstner, a former CEO of IBM, upon assuming the CEO position, made a very startling statement. Sabi niya, the last thing IBM needs is a vision. Ang daming vision, nauso vision eh. And dalawa sa inyo visionary ngayon. Okay? Sabi niya, we simply have to execute well. Okay? Now, let me give you, say something that is really unusual. Ideas or visions are a commodity. Anyone can have an idea. In fact, anyone can have a great idea. But value is added through execution. Are you with me? So, ideas are a commodity. Value is added when you execute well. My hero on execution is Steve Jobs. I mean, talk about absolute precision. Now, what is the effect? Well, we love our iPods. We love our MacBooks. Because someone had not only had an idea, but he executed it excellently. Okay, now, yun ang effectiveness. Okay? The father of success is ideation, but the mother is execution. Okay? And without the mother, there is no child. Both are needed, but it's the mother that incubates. So the father of success is ideation, the mother is execution. So don't be smug in thinking, I am the idea man here. I have a lot of ideas and I just tell others how to do them. No, don't be smug na maraming ideas. If you personally cannot execute, walang mangyayari dyan. Okay? Walang mangyayari dyan. So, subvert the prevailing paradigm. Rise above narrow functional thinking, okay? This is a GM mindset seminar. Meaning, some people say, hindi, pastor ako eh, ito lang trabaho ko. That is functional thinking. Ah, hindi, accountant ako eh, ito lang gagawin ko. Okay? Okay. Hindi, ano ako eh, kids church lang ako eh. Okay? That is functional thinking. You must rise above functional thinking. Become a generalist. Take a helicopter view of every situation. What do I mean? Well, if you are on the ground, you you cannot see the whole picture. So you take a helicopter mentally and rise above, and so you can see a larger perspective. Okay, take a helicopter view, identify the key issues. You cannot identify the key issues if you're too busy working. Sometimes talagang kailangan mo, just like we need quiet time to put our lives in perspective. In management, you need some reflection time. I mean, Paul has asked you to do a 10-minute a day habit. That is outstanding, actually. So here, pag may problema ka na, ano ba talaga yung issue? Na nagre-recurring problem. There is underperformance as a pattern of the organization, or the church is not growing, or there are not enough leaders to grow with the growth of the church. You have to rise above. Ano ba issue? Yun ang una mong tanong. Ano ba issue? What is the issue? And then, once you address the issue, execute with excellence. And thereby, you develop a GM mindset. What on earth is the GM mindset? 7 dimensions of the GM mindset. Mabilis lang ito. Number 1, focused on the organization's mission and target customer. Honor God and make disciples. Very clear mission. Who is the target customer, by the way? The lost is the primary. Who are the secondary target? Sorry? The lost are the target. Who's the secondary target? Sorry? Church members. Very good. Okay? So, committed to effective leadership. Number 3, employs the structure, process, people, issue identification framework. We will explain that later. Number 4, engages people concerned. The GM is not a loner. He engages people concerned. He's a team person. Number 5, targets continuous improvement. The GM mindset constantly combats complacency. 3 C's, constantly combats complacency. The GM mindset is not a complacent mindset. Number 6, decides based on facts processed into issues. I want you to underscore or encircle processed into issues. My boss used to throw me out of his office if I came in and said, "Boss, our sales are up 10%. Sabi niya sa akin, "So what? What's the issue?" Sabi ko, "What do you mean? What's the market?" "Oh, yeah, the market is up 15%. 10% pa lang up mo. Yung market is up 15%. Di, down tayo." So, labas na naman ako. Pag sinabi sa kanya, "Boss, bagsak tayo 5%. Eh. So what? What's the issue? How's the market? If the market is down 10%, then you're up. You're only down 5%. In other words, have you, "Alex, do not waste my time with facts." Facts are important, by the way. You start with facts. Do not come into my office only with facts. I want you to process the facts into issues. Issues are grown-up facts. Okay? You must process the facts into issues. Yan po ang manager. Hindi ka lang reporter. Mataas ang benta, bagsak ang benta. Go grow on church, bumabagsak yung church. Don't confuse me with facts. Facts are too low level at detail. Sabi niya, palaguin mo, diligin mo, process mo yung facts into an issue. What is the issue? Okay? You can start with facts, but you must process the facts into issues. And I promise you, you will never be the same after this workshop. Because you will not suspect facts. You will look at facts and not jump to any conclusion. You will process the facts into an issue. Okay? Pag nag-aaway kayong mag-asawa, hindi po ba? The husband has facts. The wife has facts. But para magkabati, tatanong nung spiritual leader. Di ba tayo yung spiritual leader? "Honey, ano ba yung issue? What's the issue?" Okay? If you want to resolve conflict, don't stay with facts. Bring them up. Process the facts into issues. Ano ba yung issue? Okay. Number seven, develops mutually beneficial customer-supplier relationships. The GM mindset looks to the future and builds enduring relationships using a win-win mindset. The GM mindset has a win-win mindset. I wish I had time. Do I have time? Can you get a partner? Can you pair up with somebody? I need a volunteer. Ado, can you come here very quickly? Okay. Get a partner. Okay. This is a 1 minute, 10 second exercise. Mas matagal pa explanation. Are you familiar with this? Okay. When every time one thumb is above, the other thumb is 1 point. Okay. So get a partner. 10 seconds only. Okay. Everybody has a partner. Isa walang partner. You can stand up. Stand up para mas madali, okay? In 10 seconds, okay? This is a competition among pairs, okay? One thumb over the other thumb is 1 point. This is a competition among pairs. 10 seconds. See how many points you can get. Ready? Go. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 8, 9, 10. Okay, time's up. How many of you got 54 points? 50 points or above? 50 points or above? The combined, 50 points or above? 30. Okay, is 30 the highest? 30. Okay, everybody who got less than 30, sit down. Okay. What did you guys do? How did you get 30? Give and take. Very good. Give these guys a big hand. What did you guys do? Huh? Okay, give and take then. Very good. Give these guys a big hand. Sit down. What did you guys do? Mas mabagal lang. What did you guys do? What did you guys do? You see? Most of you collaborated with one another. Okay, which is good. Some of you competed against each other. Okay, it's really a test. Okay, typically 80% of the class would compete against each other. Okay, but I guess there's something about pastors. First of all, they pay attention to the instructions. It's a trick. It's a trick game, actually. Okay, and in a typical seminar, 80% of the people would be struggling against each other, and so they would score probably 8. Or 10. The record in my seminars is 54 in 10 seconds. Because paspasan 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Come on, you know. So, you know, win-win mindset. The GM develops win-win relationships, and the key is a collaborative mindset as opposed to a win-lose mindset. The GM mindset is pretty biblical, actually. It operates on the principle of abundance, that there's something for everybody. Okay, you can win and I can win. You don't have to lose for me to win. I don't have to lose for you to win. It's pretty very biblical, actually. Okay, and very expansive. All right. So, how does the GM mindset solve problems? Categorizes problems into structure, process, and people issues. Okay, and then he addresses the issues accordingly. Structural issues. If there are structure issues, through structural change. If there are process issues, through process improvement. If there are people issues, through leadership and people improvement. You cannot solve a structural problem through a process improvement. For example, there was a telecom company. Their sales of SIM cards were going down in one territory. And they changed the way they promote the SIM cards. Bagsak pa rin. They changed the salesperson. Bagsak pa rin. They changed all sorts of pricing. Bagsak pa rin. Finally, some genius in the office said, dalawin nga natin. Ano ba problema doon? So they went to the field. Is it a good idea to go to the field? Duh. Okay. So they went to the field. And the poor salesman said, eh sir, hina na signal. Maski pamigay natin yung SIM card, mahina po yung signal. There was a structural problem. They needed a cell site. That's structure. They were trying to solve a structural problem through process or through people. Okay? You cannot solve a structural problem except through structural change. Okay? So, on the other hand, you cannot solve a process problem through structural change. In Del Monte, we always, in the past, put structures to solve process problems. Okay? We were not getting enough productivity from the cannery in terms of sa bawat tonelada ng pineapple, kailangan ganitong karaming cases of pineapple juice and pineapple chunks ang nakukuha namin. The yield is not high enough. So what do? We put in more people. And as a result, we had 14,000 employees. Okay? 14,000 employees when I joined the company. Because we kept throwing people, which is structure, more headcount, which is structural, on a process problem. So the question, the stupid question was asked. What are our processes? How are we doing things anyway? So we identified it was a process issue. We changed the process. As a result, not only did we increase our yields, we decreased our employee population. When I retired from Del Monte, we only had 5,800 employees, and the productivity was four times more than when we had 14,000 employees. Okay? Why? Because we identified the problem accurately, finally. It was process issues. There were process issues. And so we changed the process, we automated some of the processes, and so we solve the problem on the nature of the problem. Okay? So, ganun po ang GM mindset. It's not that hard intellectually, correct? You cannot solve a people issue through a process change. It's irrelevant. For example, what is a people issue? Yung people issue po is not kulang ang tao. Hindi people issue yun. Pag kulang ang tao, structural yun. A people issue is, nandyan yung tao pero masama yung attitude. Yeah. O kaya, hindi competent. O kaya, mahina sa tao. Poor relational skills. Now, many managers, listen carefully, including pastors, definitely, and I can say that because I was a pastor, many pastors and managers will solve a people problem either structurally or process-wise. Why? Because of a lack of courage to confront a people issue the right way, which is eyeball to eyeball. Yeah, I love you, brother, but you know, you're fired. Or whatever the issue is. Now, and I'll tell you how to deal with people issues later. Okay. What is the principle? Principle is this. Structures plus processes plus people equals execution effectiveness. Okay? If you want to execute with rigor, understand that the combination of structure, process, and people determines execution effectiveness. If structures and processes are sound, even average people will produce great results. What do I mean? Example, call center agent. Imagine a call center agent. A call center agent does not have to be a college graduate. In fact, he does not have to be even a high school graduate. As long as you can speak English and you can think logically, you can become a call center agent. But if you are the call center agent of American Express or MasterCard or Visa, imagine the kinds of problems you are solving when a customer calls in. And that low, not highly educated person can solve big problems. You know why? Because the information infrastructure and the processes are sound. Pag tumawag ka, yung account mo nasa monitor niya. Ibe-verify lang niya. Kayo po ba si Dennis Isleta? And then, you know, yung identification mo. Pag na-verify na, okay, he or she can solve your problems. Why? Because of the structure is sound. So there's a lot of effectiveness at actually a rank and file job. Okay? That's a rank and file job, because the structures and processes are sound. On the other, so even average people, even below average people, will produce great results. On the other hand, above average people will not compensate for unsound structures or processes. Let me repeat. Maski na summa cum laude ka pa ng Harvard, or PhD ka ng MIT, if the structure and process is not sound, you cannot achieve great results. In fact, that is a recipe for burnout. Too many organizations rely on the loyalty, rely on the hardworking nature of their people, and ignore structures and processes. As a result, people burn out and they leave. And there's a lot of churn, a lot of turnover among employees, okay? Because structures and processes are not sound. Of course, above average people plus sound structures and processes plus an inspirational leader will produce great and consistent results, creating a winning culture. Okay? Where do I derive issues? Balik na tayo sa issue, strategic issue accuracy. You get it out of the SWOT analysis. SWOT is strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. A SWOT analysis is a good issue identification tool. We're talking strategic issue identification tool. But too often, SWOT analyses are not become a meaningless exercise. And so the antidote, how to make a SWOT analysis not meaningless. Yung mga kliyente ko po, I'm now a consultant, okay? I retired from Del Monte, so I became a consultant. And the best definition of a consultant is people pay you for your ideas to be ignored. Okay? Kasi as a consultant, marami kang pwede sabihin at babayaran ka ng tao. But they don't have to implement what you said. Kasi consultant ka lang, sino ka ba? Well, that's all right. So, in my consultancy, I discover many companies have SWOT analysis. Kasi ang consultancy ko, strategic planning. Sasabihin, Alex, tulungan mo kami, gawa kami strategic plan. O sige, meron ho ba kayong SWOT? Ah, meron. Meron ba kayong mission statement? Meron. Meron nga kaming vision statement? O sige. Anong ginawa niyo sa SWOT niyo? Bakit? Ano ba ginagawa ron? They have a SWOT analysis. They have, ito yun, strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. Well, the issue is it becomes meaningless when you don't do the right things with it. So what should you do? You must frame it against the mission, vision, and goals. Okay? If those are your strengths, my question will be, so what? If those are your weaknesses, I'll say, so what? Ano ba mission mo? In light of your mission, vision, and goals, strength ba talaga yan? Weakness ba talaga yan? Be brutally honest in your assessments. Okay? Doon sa assessment lang, but we express them gently kasi Christian tayo eh, pastor pa. Okay? So, be brutally honest, but express them gently. And here's the most important. Extend the analysis to the implied strategic issue. Okay? Pag yan ang weakness mo, so what? What is the issue? Pag yan ang threat mo, so what? Ano ba issue? Those are just facts. What's the issue? Okay. For example, what are the under-leveraged strengths, unexploited opportunities, ignored threats, and unaddressed weaknesses? The bottom line is, in light of our mission, vision, and goals, what are the strategic issues facing our business? What should we do to resolve them? If you have a mission, it's right here. And then mission, vision, and goals, they're right here. Then you look at your results. They're typically here. They better be here. Because if they're above your mission, vision, and goals, there's something wrong. You're under lowballing yourself, all right? Typically, mission, vision, and goals are here. Actual results are here. The gap between actual results and the mission, vision, and goals is the source of the issue. Why are we short? Okay, you have. Can we take the 10-year, the the 10-year results. Okay? So ito po ang Victory Metro Manila historical data. Okay? This came from your office. You've got year 2000 to year 2010. Number of congregations has grown from 8 to 15. Worship services from 16 to 81. Wow. Praise the Lord. Small group leaders from 518 to 3,482. Weekend attendance 4,009 to 44,275. And I believe that's 51,000 thereabouts now. Key ratio, small group and attendance ratio. This is number of, this is attendance divided by number of leaders. Your ratio was 9.5, 8, 9, 7, 8, 9, 1. Then guess what? 5.5. This is the Rick Warren. You remember this? There was a big increase in leadership from 1,200 to 2,500. So your ratios went down, which is very good. But lately, you're back to double digit. Okay? And ask me a question. Let me ask you a question. What's the issue? What do we want to do in Victory? Honor God and make disciples. How do we make disciples? Honor God, well, we have to live honorable lives and spirit-filled lives, etc. Let's go to making disciples. How do we make disciples? Raise up leaders. Therefore, this column, this row is very important. Okay? And what you have here is your attendance skyrocketing up, but your leadership has plateaued. Look at this, 1,200, 500, 3,000, and it basically stuck at the 3,000 level. And if you don't raise leaders, you will not make disciples. Okay? So, 10-year results. And then the SWOTs. What I want you to do in the next 20 minutes, okay? Do we have a breakout? Alam mo, mas madali pa ganito na lang, okay? Looking at the SWOT and reflecting on the past 10-year results, identify the 8 to 10 strategic issues facing Victory Metro Manila today. What I want us to do, para madali, is this. You can get off your seats and look at the strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. I'll give you 10 minutes to do that. And then 10 minutes later, I want you to tell me what the key issues are in Victory Metro Manila. What we will flash here will be the 10-year results. Okay? You got the 10-year results here. You've got the SWOTs. So just go around. Just go around. And then plenary na lang. Wala nang breakout, no? Para ano. Just go around. And then I'll give you 10 minutes. And then what I want to do after that is we go back to your seats. And I'll ask you, what are the 10 issues? Mabuti pa, breakout na. Mabuti pa, ano? Para may ano. How do we break out this group? I need 4 groups. How many people are here? 7, 10, 13, 15. You've got 19 people. So, 5-5-4. Tatlong five, isang four, so four, okay. Five, all right. And ito, five na ito. Five. Then, six ito, six. Tapos four, tama ba yan? Okay, each group, I want you to look at the strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. You could go closer. This was done apparently in a brainstorming of the senior leaders, or including this group. This group not included. Okay, fine. This was a list of ideas about strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. And then here are your 10-year results. I'll give you 10 minutes for your group to identify 8 to 10 issues. If you can come up with 10, come up with 5. Okay. What are the top issues? Okay. You're now the GM of Victory Metro Manila. And the question to you is, Mr. GM, what are the key issues in Victory Metro Manila? Okay. You know your mission? Honor God, make disciples. Okay, so Here are your results, and those are your SWOTs. Give me your issues. 10 minutes. Ready? Go. All right, time's up. Time's up. Finished or not finished, you are finished. Okay, can I have your attention? What are the key issues? Gentlemen, what are the key issues? Random. Yes. Slow leadership development. Okay. Any comments, agreement, disagreement? Is that a key issue with you, your group? When you say slow leadership development, number of leaders? Number of leaders, huh? Slow. Okay. Okay. Is it slow or it's slowed down? It used to be very fast. Okay. 1,200 to 2,500. 2,500 to 3,000. And, you know, between 2003 and 2005, in 2 years, you more than doubled. And then from 2005 to 2010, you increased less than 15% or 15%. You used to double every 2 years, and suddenly, in a span of 5 years, you only grew 15%, your leadership. So, is that an issue? No. Kayo, that group. Bernard.
Yes. I think there is an imbalance in focus. There's a big emphasis on the weekend services.
Okay.
That is tabled every week.
Okay.
But I think there should be more focus on developing leaders.
All right. All right. This group, you agree?
Yeah.
This group? Okay. How do we word that? Okay. Any volunteers? What were ano sabi niyo kanina? Slow growth?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. We can polish it later. Slow down. In number of leaders, ito specific ito. Developed. We can polish that later. Okay? Slow down in number of leaders developed in the last 5 years. Okay? In past 5 years. All right? Second issue. Come on, guys. What else? Okay, what do you mean?
There are more people attending congregational services that are not being discipled to become leaders.
Okay.
So they just come and go.
Okay. Comments? In other words, what I'm hearing from that group is slow down in discipleship. Not just in developing leaders. He's talking about step number one. Okay? Are we not as active discipling people as we were before?
A question. On the number of the weekend attendance, is that accurate that these people are really attendees that regularly?
We don't know.
Because some people will just go visit and maybe not really, because you're putting that as a base, which you assume that they're on your team, but some of them just visit.
Number of attendees does not impress me. Okay? So it's not an issue to me. It's a blessing. Thank you, Lord. You know, 44,000 people come and listen to you through Victory. So that's not an issue. The issue is the ratio.
No, but I'm saying you cannot have the ratio without looking at the attendance, because that's your base.
Still, the ratio is an indication.
Yep.
It's an indication.
Yep. I think
I know. It's the average. So a group is saying we're not discipling as much as we were before. That's what I'm hearing. Dennis.
I think we are actually discipling a lot,
okay,
but we're not able to cope with the numbers that are coming in.
Why not? What's the issue? Think about it, sir.
The reason we have a problem is
The reason we have a problem with assimilation because just boil down again with this exactly. issue number one.
Exactly.
Okay. So lack of leaders.
Exactly. See, Sabi Dennis, and he's right. We can't cope. How can you cope? The ratio is deteriorated. You used to be able to cope very well. Yeah, you know, one leader for every 5.5 people. Okay, but now it's one leader for every 12, 13 people. So balik tayo rito. That's still it relates to the same issue. Okay, so far we have only one issue. Come on.
I think there's merit to the problem or the issue of not having too much people being assimilated because, yes, we have a problem with leaders, slow down in leadership development, but yet the big blow up of people attending the congregations, in a way, we've attracted some people who have this consumer mentality as Christians, that they just want to attend Sunday services and they don't want to be discipled.
Okay.
And so, in a way, we're also battling with that issue that some people, no matter how many invites do they get, they just really don't want to attend victory groups.
Yep. So, does it make it issue? Weak assimilation? How do we word it? Hindi key issue sa akin kasi, if you ask me. Yes, sir.
If I get what Christian is saying, what's the problem? Is it because we attracted more Christians or former Christians than non-believers from the very beginning?
To me, blessing yun eh. I mean, if 100,000 people come in, that's a blessing. Whether they are consumers or what, that's a blessing. If we have enough people inviting sooner or later, maano yun? Hindi issue sa akin yung blessing sa akin yung katakot-takot tao na pupunta sa victory.
Whether Christian or not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because at least nandun.
So, for our group,
kasi nasa labas.
For our group, we felt it was a lack of structure in developing lay leadership.
Okay? Sige. Lack of structure.
Specifically for lay leadership.
In developing lay leaders. Okay. What I'll do for the sake of quantity, para may raw material tayo, so I'm gonna write down anything you say. What else? Dennis?
I want to sort of challenge all these by framing things. No? What we're seeing now is an accumulation of a few years. Eh? But what's happening really right now is we've already started addressing these things. Now, I know that we are already producing leaders because of our making disciples training and our training for victory shortened from ENLI2, which is 2 years. So we produce leaders. I think one problem is the leaders that we produce aren't influenced enough to go and start making disciples leader-owned groups, which boils down to our ability to push them to lead.
So we're not inspiring the leaders to lead?
Probably we're weak in inspiring, in following them up, in influencing them to go ahead and lead already. What are you waiting for?
Not influencing disciples to lead or disciples to disciple. How do you want to English it? Okay, disciples. That's interesting to lead. Oh, sige. Oh, ano pa? Interesting. Okay. So we're not influencing disciples to lead. What else? Yeah, go ahead. Oh, pareko.
In connection to what he was saying, I was thinking, kasi I don't know where we stopped doing it, what year we stopped doing it, pero before, kasi it was in the forefront, yung making disciples, training leaders, planting church.
It's no longer in the forefront.
So it's no longer there. So parang it might be, I don't know, it's not a topmost for people to become leaders anymore.
Making leaders not forefront. Whether you agree or not, I'm going to write it here. Not in the forefront. We can polish this later. Oh, one more before coffee break. One more. Actually, time there. Yes.
Could it be? Sorry. Could it be our definitions are wrong? Because right now, what we're counting are people who are leading groups. We're not counting people who are just discipling. If our goal is to make disciples, then we should be counting people who are discipling one-to-one, not only leading groups.
Okay. Definitions. Bernard.
I think, Alex, you have a lot of people attending, but for me, the key issue is involvement.
Lack of involvement.
This weekend service people, how to turn them to become involved members, which will later on, some of them will become leaders, but the involvement, I think, is key, both for leading small groups and...
Lack of involved attendees.
Sir Alex, I'd just like to know who sets the standard on which is better or not, because Jesus had 12. So just thinking, is 12 really bad? Or 9 is good? I'd just like to challenge
I don't know, but what's worse is we're overtime. So 10 minutes coffee break, then we'll go back.